Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Artificial pitches are voted out by Scottish Premiership clubs. Lyndon Dykes is stretchered off in Scotland training and Sam Nicholson makes a permanent move to Motherwell. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans.
Is it too early to attach the words cursed and jinxed to the Scotland pre-Germany campaign? Lyndon Dykes, if you're having to be taken off on a stretcher, it's bad. If you're sent for a scan, it's bad. So we await the outcome of the medical test. And as for artificial pitches, I've read that clubs are saying it undermines sporting integrity if you take them away. No, it doesn't. It bigs up a game that over 5 million people in Scotland watched last season. The second season upon season increase in attendances. They don't want plastic pitches.
Yeah, no actual football being played at the moment, Cammy. The domestic stuff is over. Euro 2024 is on the way, but just more talking points every single day. We see the pictures earlier on of Lyndon Dykes being stretchered off, artificial pitches being voted out. Still lots to talk about.
Yeah, huge news today. Lyndon Dykes getting that injury, and that's really disappointing because we know how important Lyndon Dykes is for the national team. Obviously, the kind of debate's been whether it would be him or Shankland that would play up front, but you want them both absolutely fit going over to Germany. So that would be a massive blow to Steve Clarke. And then it would be the question, would he bring somebody into the squad to replace him, or obviously use him as one of the ones that would drop out if he's injured long term?
A wee bit quiet on the transfer front today, certainly when it comes to Celtic and Rangers. There's been talk of, you know, this week Adam Ida and Kyogo, some talk on the Rangers side of things as well, not getting Jose Cordoba but looking at other targets as well. But I'm sure people will still have plenty to say about what they want to see their club doing or what their club is maybe not doing yet.
Well, I met a man this morning out for his morning constitutional. He stopped me in the street to see if we'd be on tonight and what's happening, and he said, I don't think I'll even watch the Euros. I'm only interested in what Celtic and Rangers do over the summer. So that was the voice of one Super Scoreboard listener. And also today, Celtic allegedly open to discussions with Atletico Madrid over Matt O'Reilly. You can imagine the sort of money they'd be looking for.
Yeah, well, maybe it is the domestic stuff that takes your fancy. Maybe it is Euro 2024 in Scotland, that Lyndon Dykes injury that we don't have an update on yet, but he is being assessed by Scotland's medical staff. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Artificial surfaces has been, well, one of the staples really of Clyde One Super Scoreboard over the last few years. People love talking about it. Today is the day that they are going to be banned from the Scottish Premiership. There will be a 2-year grace period, so they will be in the top flight for maybe another couple of years yet, but that has been voted through by clubs. So any thoughts on that? 0141 951 1025. And anything else maybe you're interested in what your team are doing in the transfer market, looking ahead to next season, even reflections on last season, we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB as well. We will start though on artificial pitches because it is a big story. It is something that I said, you know, earlier on that loads of people love to talk about. They love to make a big deal about. It maybe did come out of nowhere over the last week, 2 weeks or so, that this vote was coming to fruition, that the clubs had decided maybe the fact that Livingston have been relegated, only being one Premiership club next season, and Kilmarnock having an artificial surface, maybe sparked that vote. It's gone through pretty quickly.
Cammy can come at it from the perspective of a professional player who's played on these things. But for me, if you are promoting the flagship competition in Scotland, the Premiership title, and all other matters concerning the top 12 clubs, there is no room, to my way of thinking, for synthetic surfaces. This is a big game, As I say, the figures are out. Over 5 million people watched SPFL fixtures in the season just ended. And that was an increase on over 5 million people the season before. Now, for me, if you're promoting your major league, you can't do it well with plastic pitches. Kilmarnock are the only one left in the league, and they have already made plans to go revert to grass. I just think that as a spectacle, your game is enhanced when everyone has a grass pitch, and your game is ridiculed if you then go to a pitch in the major league that is synthetic.
Yeah, there is that side of it, the optics, Cammy. From a player's perspective, how did you find it playing on artificial surfaces? Is this something you always thought was going to happen, that they would get voted out in time?
Yeah, I did. I always, again, it starts off, you used to train on them a lot, and then obviously a lot of teams then progressed it and used it as their main pitch. I think it's a perfect timing to get rid of them, to be honest. Livingston have moved out of the league. Kilmarnock have already, as Hugh said, got plans. If they get their training ground built, which they expect to have by the end of this season, they'll have it changed at the end of this season coming up. So it's a perfect time. I don't think it's great for me. I don't know about the stats that are out there for injuries, but certainly on your body, certainly for me, who had an injury at a young age in my knee, it really did affect me when I was playing on AstroTurf. I know a number of players who have had big operations on their knees or their joints, then it does have an effect on it. So for me, as Hugh says, you want to have the best pitches. But what I would say as well is we need to keep the standard of grass pitches up. We've had this whole debate about Dundee's pitch this season. It was a disaster for a period. So we need to keep the standard of the pitches up, because the product overall will be better if we've got good grass pitches.
Yeah, the statement from the SPFL today said clubs in the Premiership had brought forward a resolution seeking to phase out artificial pitches in Scotland's top division, which was issued to all Premiership clubs. The SPFL can confirm that the resolution has now passed. The SPFL board has granted a 2-year period to allow clubs with an artificial pitch to plan for the phasing out of artificial pitches in the top tier of Scottish football. The period of grace is in line with the recommendations of the SPFL Competitions Working Group, which represents member clubs across the SPFL. So it's not a case of they are just banned from today and that's it, and Kilmarnock will have to get rid of their pitch. But does that seem like a sensible way of doing things? Yeah. That clubs know that from now on, if they are going to be a Premiership club starting in 2 years' time, that they will need to have a grass pitch.
The clue's in the title for me, Premiership. It implies the major league, the first among leagues. Now, for me, television, it televises badly. I think it was Brendan Rodgers who said he'd never seen a good game on a synthetic pitch. And before anyone jumps in, I know that Celtic's best performance of the season was beating Kilmarnock 5-0 on a synthetic surface to win the league. But I just come back to it. We're selling something here that's getting bigger and bigger. More and more people in our country are going to watch SPFL matches. In the major league, no synthetic surfaces.
It hasn't gone down well with everyone. Before the vote passed, there was, you know, the initial proposal that had been criticised by quite a few lower league clubs. It was Raith, Hamilton, Falkirk, Queen of the South. They all came out with a statement. They said that it had been sort of poorly thought through, weren't happy with the fact that it was only top flight clubs that were allowed to decide on it. You know, some people will have the argument that, you know, at the moment it only affects top flight clubs, but it will affect other clubs, no doubt, in the future because of teams getting promoted and relegated. What do you make of that? Because there's obviously the argument of, you know, community clubs that manage to create revenue, that manage to, you know, can also train on the pitch, don't have to have a separate pitch and can lease it out for different means as well.
Yeah, so it's going to change a lot of these ambitious clubs, Falkirk, Hamilton, that want to get back into the Premier League. It's going to have to change their business plan because ultimately they would be relying on, as you say, training on the artificial pitch and playing on it. And if they do get into the top league, then they would obviously have to have the huge expense of changing their pitch. So yeah, it's going to change the mindset of a lot of these ambitious clubs. But for me, I totally agree with you. It's the right thing to do. It's the right timing. I think the 2-year grace period is perfect as well because it allows everyone to digest it. And again, look at your business plan. If you are ambitious to get back into that top league, which I'm pretty sure Falkirk will be, so they're always going to be unhappy about it because there's going to be a huge financial implication for these clubs that have got the AstroTurf pitches and want to get to the top league. But again, I think for the benefit of Scottish football, as Hugh says, The game's completely different on AstroTurf as well. It's a lot slower. I don't think there's a consistency in the tempo of the game. It's weather dependent as well. I know it's an all weather pitch, but again, if it's dry, it's really slow, sticky. The ball doesn't move well. So I just think if we can phase them out at the top of our game, then we should do that.
Should the vote have been opened out to more than just 12 Premiership clubs?
Well, why? Because
I suppose the future effect, though, because clubs in the Championship will have ambitions to get to the Premiership. They'll feel that if they are going to be a Premiership club in the future, like they're hoping to be, that they would want to have a say on the rules, essentially, that they'll be abiding by.
I think you should aspire to be bigger and aspire to be in the top league. And the top league should aspire to be as big as it possibly can be. As I say, the figures are fantastic. The attendance figures are through the roof, but there's still room to climb. And we should protect the model. We should simply say, this is our major league, our flagship competition. If you don't come up to the criteria required, then sorry, you can't come in.
Well, any thoughts on that? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Of course, any thoughts on anything else as well, happy to hear them. 0141 951 1025. Laurie is up first in Carntyne. Laurie, what's on your mind tonight?
Firstly, good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Cammy. Good evening, Hugh.
Hi, Laurie.
Before I make my point, Andrew, can I have a moment, please, to speak to Hugh about something that's very dear to me from a personal point of view. And that is, Hugh, that I'm so proud of my grandson, Kian Foreman. He's a journalism graduate of Napier University, and last week he was awarded the prize of being voted top student sports journalist of the year at the Herald offices, and he's been mentored, Hugh, with one of your contemporaries, Hugh MacDonald. So I just thought I would give my grandson a plug. I'm extremely proud of what he's done.
And so you should. I'll look out for his name, Loy.
Thank you, Hugh. Now, my main point, guys, Hugh, you referenced Matt O'Reilly just before the programme started. Mm-hmm. And I think it's inevitable that there's going to be departures and arrivals at Celtic Park, as there will be, of course, with all clubs. Matt O'Reilly at Celtic Park. Now, I don't want to see our best players go. What Celtic fan does? And I think he was our player of the season last term. However, you cannot fault the guy for wanting to strut his stuff on a bigger stage as a professional football player. Celtic Park, to me, was only ever going to have been a pit stop in Matt O'Reilly's footballing journey. So if he goes, I won't have any axe to grind. I'll not have any chagrin or angst. He'll go with my best wishes. Celtic will bank a tidy sum, probably somewhere in the region, sure, maybe 25 to 30 million pounds, if not more. Maybe that's even a conservative estimate, I don't know. They paid maybe 2 or 3 million pounds to MK Dons. So as much as I don't want to see the guy go, I think it's inevitable. You know, you can't keep a captive high flyer, as they say. The panel's thoughts.
There comes a point, Laurie, where you are made an offer like the Godfather that you can't turn down. And the offer that Celtic would get for Matt O'Reilly, they would find impossible to reject. And it fits in with the Celtic model. Now, I think the Celtic model has to be revised in the summertime, because Celtic don't need any more projects. They need to buy proper players for proper money to replace the likes of Matt O'Reilly. But as with Jota and as with Kieran Tierney, if you are offered money that is stellar, then you have to take it. It makes business sense. How you reinvest it is then a matter for you and the other Celtic supporters to examine very closely. As I say, no more projects. They've tried that in the last two transfer windows, and for the most part, it has been a failure. But if money of the type that you describe, 25 million, for example, came in from Atletico for Matt O'Reilly, Celtic would be obliged to take it from a business perspective, and the player would be obliged to go there, not only because he'd be a rich young man, he'd also be going to a far superior league.
Laurie thinks it's inevitable that Matt O'Reilly's going to leave this summer. Do you go along with that?
Maybe not definitely this summer. Listen, he's going to leave Celtic at some point for a huge fee because he's a fantastic player, and that's the Celtic model. That's the way they do their business. Bring somebody in. I think he was around 1.5 million, and then if you're talking 25 million, it's an incredible turnaround again from Celtic. They've done their business the way they like to. But I agree with you. I think it's really, really important where Celtic are in their journey at the moment, that if they get 25 million this summer, all that money gets reinvested. It could be three players they could bring in, but three quality players for that type of money, because they need to invest back into their squad. I think if the offer comes in, absolutely he's going to go, because Celtic would take something of in the region, I think, of 25 million.
Well, thank you to Laurie. About to take a break, but before that, let me tell you about this.
£1 million, make me a winner.
Win your share of £1 million.
Make me a winner.
All right, let's do it. So we closed the lines at 5 o'clock and selected a number at random from everyone who's entered across all participating radio stations. On this competition, there are no five rings, there's no amounts or phrases to remember. All you do is answer my call to win. It's as easy as that. Are you ready? Here we go.
Hello?
Oh, hello, it's Gemma Atkinson. Who's this?
Gemma Atkins is the person I recognise from Hollyoaks. That's...
Yeah, well, it's me.
It is you, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, OK.
Yeah. You entered a competition. What's your name?
My name's Nick.
Well, I'm ringing to tell you, Nick, you entered a competition to win £250,000. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, your number's been picked at random, Nick, from all the entries. And I can tell
you're joking, aren't you?
No, Nick, you've won £250,000.
Seriously?
Yes, I'm ringing you from the radio to tell you.
You're not winding me up, are you?
I'm not winding you up. Tell me a bit about yourself, Nick. What do you do? Are you at work now?
No, I've actually just gone and got my car washed because it was dirty.
Okay. And what do you do?
And a panel beater, I repair cars, dents and...
And when you're and when you're not at work, who's at home?
My children.
Okay, how many children have you got?
I've got 6 children.
Oh wow! So £250,000 will come in handy.
It will do, yeah. Recently I've just split up with my partner 3 months ago.
Oh.
That I've been with for 19 years. My oldest is 18 years old, and my youngest is 22 months old.
Oh wow, that's a big age gap. You're gonna need all the spare cash.
Wow, you're joking, aren't you?
I'm not joking. £250,000 is on its way to you.
Wow, you need my bank details, don't you?
We won't take them on air. Don't worry. What are you gonna do with the cash? I mean, it's life changing, Nick.
Well, I'm actually living at my mum's at the moment. I'm actually trying to look for somewhere to move out because obviously it was. Yeah, it was shocking, and I need to find somewhere to live. But yeah, so that'll be it, won't it, really?
Quarter of a millionaire, you are, Nick.
I'm trying not to cry right now.
Oh, no, don't. Do you know what? We get people who do cry, because it's not just a bit of cash. Do you know what I mean? It changes people's lives. And obviously.
It's going to change my life. You are right, yeah.
Yeah. And it sounds like you've been through a lot in the last 3 months, and you deserve this
money. I have, yeah. And I'm working my bottom off. I work at 4:45 every morning. I work till 5 every day just to try and make my kids have a good future. So, yeah.
Well, get yourself back to your mum's, Nick. Get a massive, massive takeaway. Celebrate with your family. £250,000. £250,000 is yours.
Wow. Thank you very much.
£1 million.
Yes, we'll have another £250,000 to give away all this week. Keep listening for details, and we'll take more of your calls next. 0141 951 1025.
Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want you to get involved as well. 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. I was just thinking when I was walking through the office earlier on, unusually quiet, wasn't it, Hugh? Everyone seems to be somewhere else. I was trying to work out, and then it was pretty obvious because we've heard about it all day on Clyde One. Tonight is Clyde One Live at the Hydro. Isn't it? So that is where everyone is, right? And as you may well have heard, the likes of Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandy, Texas, on stage at the Hydro tonight. There's going to be people at the Hydro interviewing them as well about their experience. We've got so many people at this radio station that are so into their music, so knowledgeable about their music. So I then looked at my sheet to see.
I mean, you wouldn't say somebody like somebody who's a Westlife fan or something. You wouldn't send that type of person.
No, no. I thought someone knowledgeable about music. It might be, who knows, George. It might be
Cassie.
I've looked at my sheet. Apparently, we're about to cross live to Mark Wilson, who is doing the interviews. Mark, you used to play in the Champions League for Celtic. What are you doing?
That's a good question, Andrew. Just the man you want in the ground at the Hydro to interview pop stars. I'm your man. I know everything about it. It's absolutely amazing. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Just how out of your depth are you right now?
Oh, pretty much. I mean, I've been at my depth in the new camp, the San Siro, Old Trafford, but this is pretty far out my depth, I've got to say. But listen, they sent me in to do a secret interview with a pop star, and I don't think he'll be doing many more after it goes out. I don't think they were impressed. They're in there rehearsing, practicing for their big moment. The nerves are going and I'm in there with a microphone sticking in front of their face.
I now
ask them stupid questions.
I now know, Mark, that I am in a parallel universe.
Yeah.
Because instead of you and I having a go at each other over the Fitla, you're now looking for Ronan Keating and he's not there. And who have you found?
Oh, listen, all the big ones are here, Hugh. It's not like that Dionne Warwick nonsense you went to see a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
You've got Emily Sandy, you've got Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Amy McDonald. Oh, and the big one, I'm looking forward to seeing Texas. Came to see them here last year, looking forward to seeing them again. It's brilliant. You should see the setup, by the way, backstage. It's not like Hugh, it's not like Super Scoreboard on a Saturday. You get free food and everything here. It's amazing.
Speaking of food, can you just remind Charlene Spiteri of the time she came in to do the Bowie show with when I was doing Breakfast Sport with George Bowie, and she had a rolling totty scone.
Oh, so, wait, Charlene.
Classy girl.
Rolling totty scone with Hugh. She's nodding. She remembers. But what an experience it is, by the way. And the main man, George, is starting in half an hour, 7 p.m. So if you're listening to this in your car, just abandon it, run down to the Hydro and get in because you don't want to miss the start of it.
I'm going to be honest, Mark, I'm glad we caught you at this point at 6:30 and not at 10:30. Going to be a different Mark Wilson at that point.
In 30 seconds, I'm off duty. Straight to the bar. No work, no Super Scoreboard tomorrow, Andrew. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Right, we will let Mark go and enjoy his night. Thank you very much. If you're heading down tonight, have a great time at the Hydro. And of course, if you're not heading down, why don't you get involved in Clyde One Super Scoreboard instead? 0141 951 1025. I don't know whether that was a plug for Clyde One Live at the Hydro or just for brand Mark Wilson.
Yeah.
Well, bizarre, wasn't it? Mark Wilson interviewing superstars.
Could you imagine ever doing that, Cammy?
No, I couldn't, to be honest. But listen, he sounds as if he's having a fantastic time there. He's really enjoying himself, and I think he'll enjoy himself in the next half an hour, pretty sure.
I interviewed Noel Gallagher once.
Did you?
Yeah, at Celtic Park. Day of an old film game. Noel Gallagher, because Oasis were playing in Glasgow that weekend. So I interviewed Noel Gallagher. There you are, top that.
Yeah, that is a good one, actually. I'll give you that. I wonder if we'll even see Mark back here next season on Super Scoreboard, or whether he thinks he's off to bigger things.
Ugh, no, it'll be Britain's Got Talent or Love Island or The Great British Bake Off or, you know, something like that.
Oh, well, good luck with your future ventures, Mark Wilson. It was good to hear from him anyway. Sounds like they're all having a great time down there at the Hydro. None of us got invited, by the way, but no. It's all right. We'll just sit here and keep things ticking over here on Clyde One at the moment. But yes, give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Let's go back to the phones because Stevie is in Renfrew. Stevie, what have you got for us tonight?
Hi, I just want to talk to the guys about this artificial surface. Main reason I'm phoning is I heard Cammy talk about how you got a knee injury when he was younger. My wee girl plays nap football, and she's just been recently released with Hamilton because of the amount of injuries she's had in her knees this season. The last injury was when her stud got caught in the grass and it damaged her knee ligament. And I think the surface is to blame for the kids as well. The amount of injuries you see in the younger age group, I think it's got a lot to do with the surface. And she's a goalkeeper and she's only 12. And she's missed half this season because of injuries, because of the surface, I'm blaming, to be honest. I just want to know what these guys think of that.
Yeah, because that's it. Injuries can happen on any surface, Cammy, but when players are playing on artificial surfaces, is it something you noticed more of? Are players more wary of getting injured on artificial pitches?
Yeah, well, listen, the injury Stevie's described his daughter's had is very common, I think, on artificial surfaces. Probably when it was dry and sticky and your studs get caught in the ground, you twist, you're going one way and go the other, and it normally ends up being your cruciate that you would snap your cruciate ligament. So, it is very common, but again, I've not got the stats to back it up and say, look, there's more injuries on artificial surface than there is grass. But I think because it's been here for a period of time, pretty sure there have been studies done on it. But for me, as an ex-player, I never enjoyed playing on it. I felt as if you watch them get laid. And I remember when I was at Rangers, and I remember watching the AstroTurf get laid at the training ground. It's just tarmac. There's not a lot between the tarmac and the actual grass surface that's put on top of it, the carpet that's put on top of it. And for me, when you see that getting put down, you're like, wow, you're almost on concrete you're playing on here. So I don't think it's great. I think it serves a purpose in the climate that we live in. Again, if we just went with grass pitches, our kids probably wouldn't be able to play the full year. So it has a place, but to play in it all the time, I don't think it's great for the body. And for me, if there's any opportunity to play in grass, the kids should be playing in grass.
Again, the clues in the language. We don't want artificial. We want genuine. We want the genuinely best surfaces we can get. And I would applaud anything that prevented a Dundee situation from happening again. They've got to get their pitch in proper order. But we don't want artificial. We want the top league in our country, which television pays £25 million per season to show. We want them to be showing a product that is the best it can be. And I'm sorry, you can have an artificial pitch in League 2, League 1 and the Championship. But unless you aspire to be one of the 12 best clubs in the country, I'm sorry, you can't come in.
Is that where the distinct difference really is, Cammy? That because this is all about the Premiership and not having those artificial surfaces in the Premiership, it can serve a purpose elsewhere, as Hugh said, whether it's for training, whether it is for creating outside revenue in football. But is it trying to just make that product a lot better in the top flight?
Yeah, totally. And I absolutely agree with you that it's all about the product. It's the way that we can sell our game. Our game is growing. I think it's getting better. It's definitely got a purpose, because for me, that, listen, see, during the winter, the teams will have to train in AstroTurf, and that's just purely the weather that we get, the climate that we live in. They will have to train on AstroTurf pitches because, again, we get frozen weather and AstroTurf can handle it better than the grass can. But I just think sustaining playing it or not all the time isn't good for the body. I think, again, when we're looking at it, is trying to sell it as a product, and get more money out of these TV companies, get more people, audiences watching. When you watch the English Premier League, all the pitches look unbelievable. And again, that just sells the product because you know there's a great pitch.
I suppose
it's
a lot easier just based on the money they've got to work with.
And this is something that we're talking about, and probably why the lower league teams aren't for it is because of the finances. And we know how much it does cost to keep a good grass pitch. It takes a lot of investment into it. So again, that's why I'm saying the lower league teams that are ambitious will need to change their business model now.
Stevie, because of, you know, the complaints that you've said about your daughter, the injuries she's had, are you surprised that it was still allowed in the top level of Scottish football up until, you know, 2024?
100%. I mean, you're watching Bill Thurham down in Rugby Park and you're paranoid that one of your star players is going to get injured. You understand why the managers swap about the squad before they play down there, because they don't want to risk their players that are going to play in Europe the following week. I mean, going back to the younger ones playing there, they train in the artificial surface sometimes 4 times a week and then play on it. So they're getting a lot of injuries in their legs. So it's a lot more. It's the same with the professionals that train on it. There must be a lot more like jolts, a lot jumping about. The harder surface that Cammy's talking about, there's nothing underneath. You see in the winter, some of the pitches are very thin, even with artificial.
You would think, though, that the likes of Kilmarnock and the likes of Livingston Hugh that do train on artificial surfaces all the time and play their home games on artificial surfaces, if they felt that injuries and long-lasting damage to their players was a huge issue, that they would have transitioned into grass. They must feel that it's not a huge issue for them because they've decided to stick with it.
I think with a club like Livingston, you're talking about a hand-to-mouth existence and they can't afford to change the playing surface. Well, okay, they're in a league next season which will have 5 artificial surfaces. Now, that for me is horrendous. Half the league on artificial surfaces. However, be that as it may, that's the championship. I don't want to sound elitist, but if it's your top league and you are charging what you are trying to achieve as top dollar for the coverage of that league, then you have to provide proper grounds that televise well and players can play well on them, and you don't have to adjust your team selection because Cammy can't play on that stuff in case it damages his knee.
How much did it affect games when you were an opposition team, Cammy, going to play a team that had an artificial surface in the build-up to the game? Was there a lot of focus in it in the build-up to the game? How much were the manager's decisions in terms of the football they played, the players they picked as well, were based on what the surface was?
Yeah, like massively. Again, there was players that I played that couldn't play on AstroTurf and the manager wouldn't take that risk because, again, they had like previous injuries and bad knee injuries that they knew could potentially flare up and would end up being injured for 2-3 weeks after that. So those players that just wouldn't play on AstroTurf. And then you've got the whole build-up to the game. You would normally train a couple of days on AstroTurf before going to play the game on the AstroTurf on the Saturday. It completely changes the structure of your week and the way that you go about it. It's a different game, as I said, from grass to AstroTurf. It's depending on the weather. If it's a dry summer's day, it's very, very sticky. And that, for me, makes it probably more unsafe than anything when it's sticky and dry and there's no moisture in the ground, because that's what Stevie's talking about. Your studs get caught in the ground, you try to change direction, and then you cause yourself a major injury.
Well, thank you to Stevie. Still lots to get our teeth into as well. Maybe you want to talk about that Lyndon Dykes injury stretchered off in Scotland training today. Maybe you've got some thoughts on domestic stuff, whether it's looking back or looking ahead to the new season and transfers. We want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Every night from 6 till 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want you to join us as well. 0141 951 1025 on the phones, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. We were just hearing from Mark Wilson live at the Hydro, Clyde One Live. Did you see the other news about the Hydro today, Hugh?
No.
Don't know if you would have seen this because you're not on social media
no.
all too much. A former Rangers player is going to be taking part in a boxing match at the Hydro later this year.
Who?
Against a TikToker, Nacho Novo.
Wow.
What do you think about that, Hugh?
Well, I think he should be careful because he's got a heart condition.
Yeah, well, seems to be cleared and ready to go. You're into your boxing as well.
Yeah,
is that something you're going to take a keen interest in?
No. You know, good luck to him. He can do it. It's his life. Do what he likes. But just be careful, Nacho.
You ever get into that, Cammy? Could you see yourself doing that?
No, listen, hats off to Nacho. He's a very enthusiastic guy and very fit guy as well. So I'm pretty sure he'll work hard at his fitness and he'll take it serious. I know what he's like. He came in and trained when I was at Rangers. He came in and trained with us for a little bit. So he took everything so serious and he was 100 mile an hour. So he's a good guy and best of luck to him.
Out of all your former teammates, who's the last person you'd want to face in a boxing
match? Yeah. Lee McCulloch, because he does the boxing. He's incredible and he's the fittest guy ever. He's obviously a big, big lad. But by big jigs, he's decent at the boxing. I've seen a few videos of him.
From my era, John Brown.
Aye, yeah.
You wouldn't go near
John.
No,
you wouldn't.
Not in a dark night, no.
I was going to ask who you'd most like to face, but that might be a bit harsh on whoever the answer was going to be. We'll just go back to the phones. Darren is a Rangers fan in Erskine. Darren, what have you got for us?
How you doing, Andrew, Cammy and Shu?
Hi there.
Hi. No, it was just obviously I've watched all the games if they come in. Started off well, fell away. But what I've seen, it just kind of land a glove in Celtic at all. Slightly better the cup game last week, but I just don't think the guys got it. And see, to be honest, I would bring Derek McInnes in the heartbeat. He knows the Scottish game inside out. What he's done with Kilmarnock in the 18 months, you know. So I wouldn't be too bothered if I seen the backer come on, to be quite honest.
Darren, he's not had a sort of full summer transfer window and a pre-season yet. He's not had a full season at the club either. Do you feel it's maybe still a bit early to judge him and want to see him out the door, or is that it? You've seen enough.
No, I just think a year from now we're going to be in the exact same situation. Maybe I might eat humble pie this time next year if he's still here, but me personally, I just don't think he's got it.
I think it's wildly premature with respect, Darren. And I did read a stat this morning which says that his win ratio is slightly inferior to that of Michael Beale. However, it's very, very early days, and he did inherit not only a gulf in points between Rangers and Celtic, but a club that was in turmoil following the dismissal of Michael Beale. So I think it's wildly premature. The biggest problem he has is the point that Darren highlights, is that he can't get a win over Celtic. And that the Rangers manager who can't beat Celtic can't remain the Rangers manager. Vice versa, the Celtic manager who can't beat Rangers can't remain the Celtic manager. But Celtic have got a manager now, Brendan Rodgers, who has only one defeat in 18 Old Firm derbies. One. So he clearly knows his way about an Old Firm game. With regard to Derek McInnes, and I have nothing but admiration for Derek as a person and as a manager, but he once turned down the Rangers job. And I don't think Rangers as a club go back to a manager who once turned them down. I don't think that would happen. But the bottom line for me, Clement has to be given the transfer window, has to start next season. He has to go to Celtic Park, first of all, for the opening derby. Were he to lose at Celtic Park, then he will come under pressure early on. But until such times as we know what his squad will look like and until we know the outcome of that game, I think it's wildly premature to talk about offloading Philippe Clement.
Yeah, Cammy, I don't foresee a situation where Philippe Clement is not in the Ibrox dugout come the first day of next season, but just how big is this upcoming transfer window?
Yeah, huge for the club, huge for him as a manager as well. I think it's his first real opportunity to stamp his mark on the team and the way that he wants the team to be. Again, touching on the can't beat Celtic thing, I think we need to wait till next season to judge him. When he gets his own players in and changes, they need to change their mentality. For me, that's the biggest block at the moment, is the mentality within that team at the moment. I think there's an opportunity there that six or seven players will probably leave during the summer. I think he'll try and get in six or seven starters. So it could look a complete different team from Rangers next season. And then we've got to judge him from there, because he needs time. He's not had any time at all. Listen, Hugh's absolutely bang on. He came into the club when it was an absolute mess. It was in absolute turmoil, and he got a really good reaction. He improved a lot of players that were there as well. A lot of players that were written off. Dessers, for one. He ended it, listen, I don't think he's the answer, but he scored a lot of goals and he kept Rangers in the title race for a long time. So yeah, he has improved players, which I think is a good measure of a manager. And we need to allow him to bring in his own players as well. So I think he will get judged straight away. Don't get me wrong. Listen, he needs to start the season well. It needs to be a positive transfer window as well, because I think Rangers fans need to see good names coming in during the summer, and a number of names coming in during the summer, because if they don't, and I think they want their business done early, because if they don't, you know what happens in Glasgow. The rumbles start to happen, the fans start to get anxious, frustrated, and it just starts that negativity. So I think he'll want his business done early on so that he's got his team ready, the fans are a bit more positive, but let's judge him on next season.
Darren, I'm sure even you'll agree that it is highly unlikely that Philip Clement will be leaving Rangers before the start of next season. So what are the changes that he needs to make this summer to be a success next season and get close to Celtic and get those victories that he needs?
I would go in ASAP and try and get Miowski for Aberdeen. I think in a better side, and Rangers are obviously a better side than Aberdeen, but unfortunately they're not a better side than Celtic now. Celtic, the last two seasons, had four or five better class F players. Now, that's the difference. The only department we've been better in than Celtic is the goalkeeping side. Other than that, I think Miowski and even Shankland, but if I had to choose, I would rather pay the extra money for Miowski. I think the guy's a class act, and I think he's a far better finisher than Dessers. That's where we're struggling. The last third, when I watched that Europa Conference League final the other night, and the two teams were terrible in the last third, and I was like, this is like Rangers and Celtic's level in Europe, because the two of them were terrible in the last third, and that's where Rangers really struggled in that last third, and they have the last two seasons.
Cammy, you mentioned that, you know, despite the fact he scored goals, you don't think Cyril Dessers is the answer up top. Darren's saying, yep, you know, Miowski would be his priority, Shankland if not. Can you see Rangers going for either of those players? If they were going to go for a Shankland, for example, would they have done it in January? Do you think, with the way, you know, the players they signed in January, the players they're linked with this summer as well, that it might be a completely different route they go down?
Yeah, it's looking that way. It's looking as if probably Shankland won't be one. Listen, I would have Shankland at Rangers in a heartbeat, because I think he scores goals. He's proven that at Hearts. He'll get a number of more chances at Rangers. The problem for Dessers for me is just the number of chances it takes him to score. He's got a decent goal record this season, but it's took too many chances. And again, the better teams you play, the bigger games that you need your striker to score, he's just not done it. He's not, for me, he's not instinctive as a striker. I would take Miowski or Shankland, but I just don't think Rangers will pay that money in this market. And again, Shankland's transfer fee could go up if he has a really good summer for Scotland as well. So Hearts will be hoping for that, because they're at make or break. They need to either get him to sign a deal, or we will move on.
There are so many complexities when it comes to transfers. Miowski, Aberdeen would rather sell to a club out with Scotland than have Miowski come back to Pittodrie and sink them. Likewise, Shankland at Hearts, if it's possible, you try and offload them somewhere other than the Premiership. So it's a complex business, but I do understand that Dessers takes too many chances to score a goal, and that he simply does not have the backing of the Rangers fans.
Well, thank you to Darren. Lots of time to get your calls in, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, Beat the Pundit. You can take on either Hugh Keevans or Cammy Bell, win yourself a signed ball, and of course, the bragging rights over the pundits. Get your call in before 7 o'clock, 0141 951 1025.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
into the second hour of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean. We've been talking artificial pitches. They've been banned in the Scottish top flight. There is a 2-year grace period, but they will be disappearing from 2026. Lyndon Dykes stretchered off in Scotland training. We'll definitely get into that in the second hour of this show. Transfer talk as well. There's been a bit of it this week. What do you want to see your team do? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. But before we get to your calls, we'll play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, we were saying last night, this is a bit of extra homework, isn't it? You don't normally have Beat the Pundit at this time of year, but you've got to keep you sharp all year round this time.
Yeah, you've got to keep your fitness up.
There we go. Are you feeling fit, feeling match fit? Good to go? Cammy?
Yeah, I'm
you don't,
ready.
Don't play as regularly as Hugh, but you're still...
No, I think I'm sitting about 70% I was, so I'm quite happy with that.
All right, okay. It's going to be Jack in Motherwell. Jack, have you played before?
Yeah, I have. I played last year.
Did you win?
I beat Simon Donnelly 5-4.
5-4, that's a good game. Who would you rather face out of Hugh and Cammy?
Either or, to be honest. I think they're just as good as each other.
All right. To be fair, I actually think the stats back that up, because Cammy, 71%, Hugh, 68% across the season.
I think you play a lot more, so...
There you go. Not much of a gulf between them. So it will be heads for Hugh Keevans, tails for Cammy Bell, and it is tails. It's going to be Cammy Bell, so we'll make sure he gets some greatest hits radio in his ear. He's given me the nod. It means he can't hear me. Jack, you've played before. I know you know the rules, but just to run you through them, 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions correctly as you can. Remember, if you want to save some time, you don't know the answer, you can pass as well. Does that sound good?
Perfect.
Right, let's go. What team does Clyde One Live act Amy McDonald support?
Rangers.
Group B in the League Cup is made up of league champions except which team?
Pass.
Who does Scotland women face at Hampden tonight?
Israel.
In which year did St Johnson do the cup double?
2021.
How many Norwich players are in the provisional Euro squad?
One.
Who has won more Scottish Cups out of Dundee United and Hibs?
Dundee United.
Which Motherwell player announced his retirement yesterday?
Stephen O'Donnell.
Okay, let's bring Cammy back in.
Yes.
Ready to go, Cammy?
Good. Yep.
Let's do it. What team does Clyde One Live act Amy McDonald support?
Rangers.
Group B in the League Cup is made up of league champions except which team?
Pass.
Who does Scotland women face at Hampden tonight?
Israel.
In which year did St Johnson do the cup double?
It's 2017.
How many Norwich players are in the provisional Euro squad?
Two.
Who has won more Scottish Cups, Dundee United or Hibs?
Dundee United.
Which Motherwell player announced his retirement yesterday?
Obika.
Right. Jack, how do you think it went?
I think it's tight, but I think he might have done me.
It certainly is tight. Right, let's go through it. What team does Clyde One Live act Amy McDonald support? You both went for Rangers. It is Rangers. So one all to start off with. Group B in the League Cup is made up of the league champion or league champions apart from which team? Do you know this one, Hugh?
No.
In the group is Dundee United, Falkirk, Stenhouse Muir, Bucky Thistle and Ayr United. Neither of you got it. So that is still one all. Who do Scotland women face at Hampden tonight? That one's kicking off soon. You both said Israel. You're both correct. In which year did St Johnson do a cup double? That's a pretty poor guess from you, Cammy. I thought 2017. Were you all over the place there?
2021.
It is 2021, and that's what Jack said as well. So Jack takes the lead. It means he is 3-2 up. How many Norwich players are in the provisional Euro squad? Jack went for one. Cammy went for two.
Three.
The answer is three. Angus Gunn, I forgot Grant about Angus Hanley, Gunn. And Kenny McLean. So it remains 3-2. Who has won more Scottish Cups, Dundee United or Hibs? You both went for Dundee United. You were both wrong. Hibs have won three. Dundee United have won two. You both got one more question in. Which Motherwell player announced his retirement yesterday? Jack said Stephen O'Donnell.
Obika.
You went for Jonathan Obika, which is correct, which means is a tiebreaker.
Jack, I'm guessing you're no Motherwell fan, being from Motherwell.
No, well, I'm originally from Larkhall, so you can probably...
Okay. Enough said.
Aye. I would just try to think of like the oldest player I could think of at Motherwell, and Stephen O'Donnell was the first one to come to mind.
Okay, I don't mind the logic. Good. But yes, it's going to go to a tiebreaker. Oh, right, yes. Are the two of you ready for this? So we'll get Cammy to write down his answer, and we'll get Jack to say his answer. So the question is, what is the difference in capacity between Easter Road and Tynecastle? What is the difference in capacity between Easter Road and Tynecastle? I'll wait until Cammy's written his answer down. He's gone. Right, okay, Jack, can you give us your answer? Cammy's written his down and showed me it.
3,500.
Okay. Cammy has gone for 2,000. Jack has gone for 3,500. It's actually much tighter than that. 398. Oh, so Cammy, yes. Bell wins it. Unlucky Jack.
Fair enough. The better man won.
Unlucky Jack, there, mate.
Didn't quite keep his 100% record, but all the more reason, Jack, to phone in and try again. There we go.
I'll need to get somebody easier next time.
There's plenty out there, Jack.
Yeah,
I was worried there as well. I was really hoping you weren't going to go either side of the number, and I was going to have to do some quick maths there. That really would have exposed me. That would not have been good at all.
Didn't you realise it was that tight?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Easter Road, 20,250. Tynecastle, 19,852.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
They've got a singing section at Tynecastle. We don't need one at Easter Road.
Yeah.
It is tight. Like Beat the Pundit was, of course, we will be back with Beat the Pundit next week. Hard lines to Jack. Let's go straight back to the phone, shall we? David is a Celtic fan in the city centre. David, how are you?
I'm good. Even guys, how are you?
Good,
thank you.
Mine is, I tried to go on for Tuesday night when a boy came on for beating the drum for Derek McInnes as the Rangers manager. I don't want Derek McInnes as the Rangers manager. I think he would give us a more of a challenge than what Clement has. I'd see Clement going out the door next summer or before. He's beat on all season that he came into the club. All we heard was, I came in and we were 7 points behind. I've got it to 2. We're top of the league. They finished the season 8 points behind us. He's come up against Celtic 3 times. No, beat us once. Got a 3-each draw, and if Rangers hadn't got the penalty, I don't think that would have been a draw in that game at all. But McInnes, I think, would give us a challenge. He knows the Scottish market. He knows how to pick a bargain player up. And Rangers are talking about going out to sign players at 5 and 6 million. Where have they got the money from? Rangers don't have money to go and buy players like that. As we've seen in the summer with loan players. And that'll be the same now. There'll be loan players coming in.
I mean, Rangers did spend money last summer, though, didn't they? And the likes of Danilo and Cyril Dessers and Sam Lammers. I'm not saying it was spent wisely, necessarily, but it's not as if it was all loan deals last summer.
I'm not saying it was, but that was when Beale was there, wasn't it? Clement, they gave Beale some money. Clement never had the money in the January one.
Yeah, I suppose there was the loan deals there. Mohamed Diamandé, that money was sort of put forward, £4.5 million for this summer, so that will come out the summer budget.
I think we're running away with ourselves here. And it was inevitable when Celtic played so well against Derek McInnes' Kilmarnock and won 5-0 and won the league, and then followed it up with the cup win over Rangers. Not a vintage cup final, but if you're on the winning side, who cares what it looked like? But we're running away with ourselves here and working on the assumption that Rangers are even of a mind to get rid of Philippe Clement. He will need to hit the ground running next season. He will need to get a win over Celtic, because the longer that goes on, the greater the pressure on him. But right now, there is absolutely no indication that Rangers have it in mind to do anything about Philippe Clement. He'll need to get into next season, get into it well, and then it might become a topic of conversation. But it's not a topic of conversation now.
David, how concerned are you otherwise of who is the Rangers manager when it is going well for Celtic? Won a double under Brendan Rodgers this season in his first season back. Do you feel it matters too much who is in charge of Rangers?
No, I'm happy Clement's here. May continue next season and the season after. He's got to try and break Celtic's dominance. It's been 40 trophies since 2000 we've won. 40 trophies. We're now with Rangers saying we're the most successful team in the world. We're now in 118 trophies each, so we're now in an even footing going into this season. We're both in 118 now.
Yeah, that kind of thing will put pressure on Clement and everyone at Ibrox next season. I mean, I don't get why a trophy that was won even before I was born has any relevance to what happens today.
Because everything matters, Hugh. Everything matters all the time. Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is, how minuscule it is.
And David has shown that by saying 118 trophies each. Now, next season, if Celtic were to win the title, that would be title 55, which would equal Rangers. Now, again, it's not a problem that I don't happen to think that's a big deal. It's a big deal to the Celtic fans and the Rangers fans, and therefore it will put pressure on Clement and to a certain extent Brendan Rodgers, because the Celtic fans will really want that title and the Rangers fans will be absolutely desperate that Celtic don't get that title. So Philippe Clement will have to get used to our localised bragging rights factor, and he must win the title next season or I think he's out.
How much do Rangers need to break this current cycle they're in of managers coming in, showing a bit of promise before the summer, having a transfer window where maybe supporters are saying, oh, just wait until they get their own players in, and then by the time it gets to October, November time, they're out the door and there's a new regime. How important is the first month of next season for Philippe Clement to try and show supporters that it's not going to be like the last couple of managers Rangers have had?
Yeah, it's absolutely massive. And again, everyone normally throws out the league can't be won and lost in the first month, but I think it can. I really do. I think the negativity can fester. If you have a poor start, you lose a couple of games, there's an Old Firm game in there, then you lose that. Then it can breed this negativity, and then we all see what happened, how quickly Michael Beale got put out the door because it was so poor. He's got a big summer ahead of him, so he needs to start the season well. But as David said, they need to break this dominance. That's the big thing, that Celtic are so dominant and winning trophies at the moment. Rangers need to break that. They need to start winning Old Firm games, but they also need to be very consistent in their other league games. You look back and everyone knows it. It was that Ross County Dundee game that changed the season. They need to be back to where they used to be years ago, and they would very rarely drop points anywhere out with the Old Firm game. And that's where they need to get back to.
We have a fevered environment here. And I don't know, Cammy, whether you'd agree or disagree with me, but if Philippe Clement were to lose the league next season and not beat Celtic at any stage, I don't think he'd be Rangers manager.
No, he wouldn't be. There's no. If he doesn't win the league next season, he won't be manager. I'm quite comfortable saying that, because that's a demand that Rangers players, Rangers fans ask for, and rightly should ask for that, because they're such a huge club. And Philippe Clement won't be silly himself. He knows he needs to win the title next season.
David, what do your side need to do this summer to keep that dominance up?
Sign a couple of quality players. Try and keep Matt O'Reilly. It'll be a difficult one. I think the offers will come in from. Glad he's not going to the Euros. Unfortunate, Matt. But I think he'd have shown if he got the chance at the Euros and put the price up and get more bids in for him. I'm confident Celtic will win the league.
Quality players in what area, David? Where do you think are the areas that Brendan Rodgers needs to address?
The striking at centre half and another left back. A centre half to play with Vickers. Scales as the he's filled in a gap, but he's not. Every time he got the ball, your heart was in your mouth. He ran forward with it, but he would make a loose pass and go. He get back with headers. He conceded goals with people shankling it above him for a header. I mean, it's just he's not for me. A quality centre-half, a proven one. There'll be plenty about to get, not going out and getting a young 21, 22-year-old. It's not going to get a 27, 28-year-old that's been there.
You know, have you had enough of Kwans and Yangs and Kobayashis and the Lagabielkas and the other people who don't play for Celtic but are paid by Celtic?
Yes, it's hard. Especially, I mean, Forrest has been there a long time. A good player can beat. I think getting on these days, he's not as fast as what he used to be. But I mean, we've had that many wingers at the club that They just don't. Lightweight, can't cross the ball, can't beat a man. The one with Yang where he got caught with Diamante at Ibrox, he showed them the outside where he knows what he can do, and he done it to us.
I just think now we're focused on Philippe Clamald and what he has to do. I really do think that the time has come for Celtic to back Brendan Rodgers properly.
Do you think they will?
Well, they have to, because, you know, David has just outlined his belief that Celtic will win the title and they just need one or two players. Celtic have an awful lot of players they need to get rid of.
Yeah. If you just look at the squad at the moment, go through it, Lagerbielka, there is out. Yang, Holm, out. McCarthy, out, Navrotsky, Kobayashi, yep. Quite a lot of players there, Sigrist, who aren't getting any game time at all. Are these players that really need to be shown the door by Celtic? Because, Celtic need to, you know, you say they need to spend money and they need to back Brendan Rodgers, but when you've got a big wage bill, when you've got so many players that Brendan Rodgers is having to deal with on a day-to-day basis, how much does that come down to shifting these types of players out to make sure there's room in the squad for?
They're having to pay for their own folly. They've brought in players who very, very quickly showed that they weren't good enough to get a game. So you have to pay for your own folly. But, you know, we can speculate how much money Celtic have got, and we all know it's, by Scottish standards, a colossal amount of money. And now is the time to get serious, to buy proper players, quality players, for proper money, and get serious about not only the domestic situation, but it's been 20 years since Celtic emerged from a group stage in any European competition and had a win in Europe. 20 years. Are they serious about Europe, or are they just in it for the money?
I think there's a number of players. I think their squad's diluted with players that are nowhere near their starting 11. All them players you named there, for me, aren't starters for Celtic. Yes, they might get on the pitch, but probably just because there's an injury here or there's a little bit of desperation that they need it. Again, the wide situation for me this season hasn't convinced me. I think you look at Nicholas Kuhn, you've got Palmer, you've got Yang, you've got Forrest. I think Forrest's a very effective player and absolutely would keep him at the club, but I don't think he's a player that's going to give you 40 games a season. I think he's so important for Celtic. But then I agree with David, I think a centre-back is what they need, probably a left-back as well to challenge. And again, if Greg Taylor does get injured, and a striker for me is another one. So they need to be smart in the market. They can't be lax this summer because I don't think they're a million miles ahead of Rangers. So if they stand still, this could be an opportunity for Rangers to catch them. So they need to be active in the market.
Well, thank you to David. Lots more to come. We'll hear from Scotland captain Andy Robertson on a few things ahead of Scotland's pre-Euro 2024 friendlies. We'll look at that Lyndon Dykes injury as well. We'll set up a teaser for these two and, of course, more of your calls. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025, or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. We'll be taking a closer look at that Lyndon Dykes injury, stretchered off in Scotland training today. I'm sure there's a bit of worry about that, so we will take a look. Any thoughts? 0141 951 1025, but there is a lot of answers for this one, so let's set this up.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Yeah, you've got a lot of thinking to do for this one. 11 answers on the teaser. Thanks to Chris and Partick for this one. Following Jonathan Obika's retirement yesterday, aged 33, can you name the 11 players older than him to score in the Scottish Premiership this past season? So 11 players older than John Obika, so they must be 33 or older to score in the Scottish Premiership this past season.
Ryan Stevenson?
I don't think that's who you mean.
Lewis Stevenson,
no, did not score Vassell, this season.
Was Vassell older?
No, he's not.
It's not a great
we
start.
We are in trouble, yeah.
Yes,
if we need 11. And just think of I'm not trying to insult players here, but think of the older ones.
Leon Balogun,
no. Either hasn't scored or just isn't on this list. But I think he didn't score this season in the league.
Right, no.
Any more suggestions?
This is a slow start.
Yeah.
Slow start, Andrew.
I mean, a lot of them are sort of like Scottish Premiership stalwarts, guys who have been in and around the league for a long time.
Andy Considine, that's who I was going to say.
There we go. That was the Andy Considine clue that you got there. 36 years and 7 months. And just to give you a bit of guidance, that's the second oldest on the list.
Johnny Hayes,
correct. There we go. We're cooking now.
Is Nicky Clark up there?
He is number three on the list. Nicky Clark? No.
Not old enough.
Give you another guess each. You've got two of the 11. You get Andy Considine, 36 years and 7 months. Johnny Hayes, 36 years and 1 month.
How old is Stephen O'Donnell?
Stephen O'Donnell is not on the list.
Sorry, Stephen.
Sod scored. No. No chance.
Who's the oldest player at Celtic?
Rory McKenzie score?
Rory McKenzie. No.
Don't even know if he's that old. He's just been at Killie for so long.
He's been around for a long time. Incredible. I don't think he's probably not old enough to be on this list. I would venture away from thinking about the oldest players at Celtic and Rangers. I'll give you that.
Okay. Hanlon? Did Paul Hanlon score?
Paul Hanlon, correct. Yes, 34 years and 3 months. Scored against St Mirren in April.
How old's Gorgic?
Gorgic, no. No. Alex Gorgic isn't too old.
No.
He's not old enough to be on that list.
He hangs about with Gordon Dalziel, so you never know.
Yeah, well, Andy Considine, Johnny Hayes and Paul Hanlon. We'll leave it there. I'll give you some thinking time. Those are the three that you've got. Second, third and seventh.
We'll get this by the Glasgow Fair. Don't you worry about that.
That's all right, you'll get it. It'll be fine. Right, let's take a look at that Lyndon Dykes injury, because in the build-up to these major tournaments, I think people are always a bit worried about whether players are going to get injured. John Carver came out yesterday and spoke about the fact that 6 players didn't train, but he wasn't really concerned about their injuries and why they hadn't trained. He felt that at least by the Finland game, the Friday game next week, the second warm-up game, that they would all at least be fit to play some sort of part. So it would just be a case of whether anyone else got injured. I was scrolling through Twitter today. Photos emerge of Lyndon Dykes, which looked as if they'd just been taken from one of the overlooking flats into Lesser Hamden. I'm sure other countries maybe have, you know, training complexes where you can't take photos from overlooking flats and see what's happening in them, but you can at Lesser Hamden. And quite a few pictures of Lyndon Dykes on the ground, on a stretcher, a few worried looking faces in there. That has got to be the sort of worst nightmare really for any player this point.
We know it's a fact that he underwent a scan earlier. So I was asking Cammy, from his professional perspective, does scan potentially mean trouble? And the answer is yes. So this squad at the moment, that there's an element of the walking wounded and the able-bodied about it all. Too many players are not at 100% fitness. And we've also, of course, lost Hickey, Ferguson, Patterson, and we may be about to lose Dykes. You can't dress it up. That's very unlucky where Steve Clark is concerned. And I hope for Lyndon Dykes' sake and for Steve Clark's sake, the news is positive, because you know you can go on about Ben Doak, but he's a teenager. He's never played for the full international team. He hasn't played football for 5 months, and you know too much pressure should not be put on his shoulders, because it's unrealistic.
We don't know how the injury took place. I don't want to speculate on that, certainly, because it could be anything. But in the lead up to a big game or a big tournament, is the vibe around training different? Are the training levels different? Do players treat it differently at all?
No. Listen, I think players will train the way they always do. You've got to get that sharpness again, especially because it's been an off period. They'll be trying to keep their... Listen, the guys won't have lost much fitness, but get their sharpness back. And it's always... I think when you're around the Scotland squads, you're always wary of tackles and stuff like that. But again, it could just be a twist, a turn. Again, it could be a late tackle that sometimes happens in training. These are unfortunate situations that can happen, but it just looks,
Again, it looks serious for me that he's had to be stretchered off the training pitch. That's a concern for me. He's not got up and walked off.
You could at least have maybe like an arm round each medic and sort of limped
and
off.
And listen, they'll be taking every precaution they can. First and foremost, the medical team, they won't take any chances, but they would assess them on the training pitch and they would have had a look. So they must have a concern that he's got something potentially quite serious wrong, that they've stretchered him off, took him straight to the hospital, had a scan, and as Hugh's saying, when you get a scan, it normally indicates that the medical staff think there's something potentially serious wrong. And we're so close to the tournament now. If it's a serious injury, then Lyndon Dykes will miss the tournament, which would be a massive blow.
You've got to really feel for the player as well, because these are, you know, having spoken to a couple of the Scotland players yesterday, they talk about, you know, this is what dreams are made of, being able to, you know, build up to a major tournament. This one's different from the last one as well, because it is a sort of bona fide tournament in one place, what you sort of grew up watching, the opening game against Germany in Munich. We don't know whether he's going to miss it or not, but certainly that fear that he will have at the moment, you've got to feel for him.
Well, you know, the horrible blow for Aaron Hickey, for Lewis Ferguson, for Nathan Patterson, and I would hate to see Dykes added to that list. He's not the most cultured football player ever to have worn our jersey, but he puts in the shift. He's an honest to goodness trier for the team, the kind of guy that you want beside you when the going gets tough. So
he's been a big part for Steve Clarke as well, certainly in the way he plays. And the thing is, he may not be as prolific as other strikers are in front of goal, but maybe what he does allow Cammy is bringing the other players into play. We've seen the goals that get scored from midfield, John McGinn, Scott McTominay being the top scorers in the last couple of qualifying for Scotland. Does his play allow those players a bit more freedom getting into the game, making those runs in behind?
Absolutely, because he's so physical as well up top for us. Again, any direct ball that goes and he stretches the defence, he stretches that gap between the defence and midfield of the opposition, which allows these guys who have got the legs, John McGinn, as you said, McTominay, and all these guys can get forward, break the lines. And for me, I don't think McTominay would have scored as many goals if it wasn't for Lyndon Dykes, because he brings them into play so much. He occupies defences very, very well. And that allows the space for these other guys. We know he doesn't score all the time, but he still chips in with his goals. But I just think his whole presence on the pitch, in some of the games that we are going to face, I think we've not really got anyone that's like him that can occupy a defence as much and probably put a little bit of fear, an out ball for us potentially against Germany. He works ever so hard as well, so he would be a massive miss. And as you say, you feel for the player in this situation, because Lyndon's worked so hard in his career. He started, obviously came over from Australia and started at Queen of the South, and look where he is at this moment in time, an opportunity to play against the best in the world, and it might have been taken away from him. Hopefully not, hopefully he's okay, but yeah, you feel for the player.
Yeah, there's every chance that it turns out Lyndon Dykes is okay and he's fit enough to feature. If he's not, I do wonder how that looks for Steve Clarke and the selection process, because we know that two players need to get cut from that provisional 28-man squad. A lot of people think it's maybe going to be a goalkeeper plus one. Does Lyndon Dykes, if he can't play, is it automatically just that, you know, a player that maybe wouldn't have been going from the squad just gets in? Or because of the options up front, or maybe the lack of options up front, does Steve Clarke look to his under-21s, who he's admitted himself are the standby options, and maybe two from the original squad still miss out on top of Dykes, and there is a, for example, a Tommy Conway that gets a call up?
I don't think he'll see the loss of Lyndon Dykes as natural wastage. He will want to do something about that, address that particular problem. I think Conway would go straight to the top of the class at that point.
Is that the way you would see it going, Cammy?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think he definitely would need to bring in somebody, because we're going to be a lightweight up the top of the pitch. I think if there was any injury, it's probably that you wanted. You don't want any injury, but if there was one that was to happen, we'd be further back the pitch. We've got a lot of defenders in the squad. As you say, four goalkeepers, you would probably expect one of them to drop out. But yeah, I think we definitely need to have the options up top and different types of options. So I'm pretty sure Steve Clarke's just praying that Lyndon Dykes is okay, because he's a huge player for Steve since he's came into the job.
You mentioned that it may open up an opportunity for Ben Doak, who is traditionally a winger but has played in that central striking role, certainly for Scotland's under-21s. He's scored goals there as well. He's someone that John Carver was speaking of highly yesterday as well. Scotland captain Andy Robertson today. The players were visiting hospital to see some children there and sort of try and spread a bit of positivity. And he was speaking today, he was talking about Ben Doak when he was there, and he thinks that Ben Doak has the ability to be a big player for them this summer, however, doesn't want to put too much pressure on the 18-year-old.
He's confident. Ben's always, you know, not lacked in confidence. He's a fantastic player. You know, obviously, season cut short with injury, and trained with the lads today for the first time, and you know, looked as if he hadn't been out for 5 months, which is credit for him. Unfortunately, this season, I know what it's like coming back after a long-term injury, and it's not easy. And he looked as if he hadn't been away. So, look, he brings pace, he brings excitement. He's not scared to take anyone on. And it's exactly what we need. You know, young players that have got no fear, and he's certainly got that. And he's got a bright future ahead of him, but it's also important that we protect him and we put our arm around him and help him along the way, because he's just starting his journey and we know what that's like. And it's important people don't get overhyped by him, and let him grow and let him improve. And if we do that, then, you know, I believe that he can be a big player for us in this tournament, but he'll be a big player for us for 10, 15 years to come as well.
Andy Robertson is the person best qualified to speak about Ben Doak, because he sees him every day in training with Liverpool and has played in the same Liverpool team as him. However, Andy mentioned the need not to overhype, and I think we have to be careful here. He has not played any football at all for 5 months. He has never played for the full international team. Our opening game is against the host nation, who in some people's estimation might be the best team in the world at the moment. So let's keep a sense of perspective where an 18-year-old untried...
I don't think anyone's expecting him to, you know, go to the Allianz and start against Germany, but a lot of the talk is just about his, you know, his pace and power that maybe we do lack in the squad a wee bit. Any person that speaks about Ben Doak that's worked with him, talk about his fearlessness, the fact that he's really confident, he backs himself. Is that the type of attitude, along with the ability and, you know, the pace, that if Scotland do need something different, whether it is in that game against Germany, whether it's against Hungary or Switzerland, that he could offer something different if it is off the bench for the last 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is?
Yeah, I do think he does offer something different. I'm just a wee bit... It's just because he's not been fit, and he obviously is just getting back to fitness. We don't know how he's going to come back. Obviously, Andy Robertson's saying that he's back buzzing in training, which he will be if you're back from a long-term injury. You come back all guns blazing. Which is great. I think he's a very exciting player. He's a player I think could be really influential for us coming off the bench. Good impact player if the game's a bit flat or we need something different. If we're a goal down, you need to create some opportunities. He's very direct, as you talked about, his pace. He's got great quality as well. That's what the end product's really good from him. So, yeah, he's an exciting player for me. It's just a shame the tournament's not in another 2 months' time. It'd give him enough time to get himself back up to full fitness, because I don't think we're going to see the full potential of what he's going to bring. But it's great that he's in the squad and hopefully can play a part in the tournament.
Let's go back to the phones. Kenny is in Prestwick. Kenny, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi, I'm just calling about the AstroTurf pitches.
Yes.
I've worked all my life in professional sport as one. I run private clinics, but I've worked with professional footballers, junior footballers of all age groups throughout my career of the last 35 years. And, you know, the AstroTurf pitches, best thing you can do is get rid of those. I think they're the worst thing that ever happened, especially to professional football, you know, because there's a lot of money involved in the game. And, you know, it also creates a situation where just certain teams maybe have the advantage because of the pitch they have. The pitch isn't necessarily the same as another AstroTurf pitch that teams train on. I mean, Tammy will know from his days playing that, you know, pre-season, you know, and even going back a few years before the AstroTurf pitches, in pre-season, players quite often, we used to find most of the injuries occurred then, because players were coming back onto hard pitches because of the summer weather. And quite often they would be messing around between, you know, what studs to wear, mouldies or whatever. And often as not, you know, players would pick up injuries, knee injuries, the whole thing. Used to find the middle of the season wasn't too bad, you know, and then again as you progress through it, again, players are getting tired and the weather conditions are bad and the pitches, the grass pitches get into a terrible state. you can understand why, you know, Aston Turf was brought in. And obviously money plays a big part for a lot of clubs. But in the Premier League, you know, I still feel there should be funding given to clubs to make sure that they can get a proper pitch put down there. I mean, the powers that be must have enough money to be able to do that. I would have thought at least contribute. But the injuries I've seen over the years for the young players, youth players, you know, and in the junior game where the quality surfaces of the Aston Turf are probably a lot worse, and of course were a few generations ago as well. You know, you saw it all the time and still do. I just think the best thing that's happened to get rid of that.
We have to take Kenny's advice from a medical perspective that they are bad for footballers and create injury problems, and managers tailor their teams because certain players can't be used on artificial surfaces. That, of course, is a major factor. But for me, the core point here is that this is the Scottish Premiership. The SPFL having had more than 5 million people watch our games this season. The Premiership requires Premiership facilities, both on the pitch and off the pitch. Your ground should be the best it can be. Your pitch should be the best it can be. And television pays £25 million per season to broadcast the Scottish Premiership. Artificial pitches do not equate with an elite league.
Well, thank you to Kenny. Make sure to phone in again sometime soon. We need to get back to the teaser because you've got 3 out of 11. Following John Obika's retirement yesterday, age 33, can you name the 11 players older than him to score in the Scottish Premiership in the past season? You have Andy Considine, Johnny Hayes and Paul Hamlin.
What did you say about Andy Considine? He was the oldest, no?
Second oldest.
I've put down some names that I think are up in that category of senior players.
Okay.
Put it. Boyce?
No.
Shinny,
Andrew Shinny. Yes. 34 years and 9 months. Did you mean Graham Shinny by any chance?
No, I meant Andrew Shinny.
Oh, okay, no, yep. 34 years, 9 months. You've got the fourth oldest there.
Callum Butcher scored?
Callum Butcher, no.
No.
Not on this list. There is a quizzical look on your... This should be your special subject, Hugh.
And I'm trying to think. Old people. How old is Simon Murray?
Simon Murray is not old enough to be on that list. No. There is a mix. I think there's still plenty of... like, they're all like well-known players that you would know that have been around, most of them, the Scottish game for a long, long time. Right, we'll give you more thinking time and we'll get back to it after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans alongside me, Andrew McLean, and they have plenty of work to do on this teaser. Following Jonathan Obika's retirement yesterday, age 33, can you name 11 players older than him to score in the Scottish Premiership in the past season? You have so far Andy Considine, Johnny Hayes, Andrew Shinney and Paul Hanlon. There was a lot of thinking going on in the brainstorming in the break there.
I've got a couple. I'll give you Marley Watkins.
Who
surprised me. That
is a good shout. Yep. Good shout, yep. He 33 years and 5 months, which means he is the youngest of the 11.
Is GMS a football OAP?
Gary Mackay, Stephen, two Kilmarnock players in a row. So 33 years and 8 months for him. I'll take one more each.
St Johnston player, Ryan McGowan.
Ryan McGowan's a good one. Yes, Ryan McGowan is in there. Any more for us, Hugh? How many have we got left to go? 1, 2, 3, 4. That's all right. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
That's enough to see us through later on. Let's take a look at this, shall we? An interesting story this week. Something a bit different as well. I don't know. Have you heard of the Lowland League side Caledonian Braves, Hugh?
Yes, who've now landed a fortune.
Yes, they have indeed, because they've been using sort of different ways of crowdfunding and trying to sort of garner some interest across the globe, trying to get people to not only invest in them but become sort of joint owners as well. But they've raised almost £800,000, beating their crowdfunding target for, you know, a Lowland League side. That is a lot of money. Owner Chris Ewan was speaking to us earlier on. He says it's amazing to see the global interest they've had. Is he? I don't know whether. All right, we'll try and get that clip anyway. And we'll hear from Chris Ewing very shortly. But that type of money for a Lowland League club is quite something, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's staggering. And presumably can be put to very good use in terms of getting out of the Lowland League, because there's no one who will come remotely near to that kind of money.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money, certainly. I suppose it's about how they spend it as well, because you get that amount of money. But in football, surprisingly, at any level, it can kind of disappear pretty quickly, can't it?
It absolutely can. And I think the things Caledonian Braves will be looking at is their infrastructure of the club, the way they run the club. They want to do things professionally. I actually know a little bit about Chris's history and stuff. I've spoke to him a couple of times. Very shrewd businessman, and he's been brilliant for the club. He's been pushing this for a period of time, and as Hugh says, it's a huge amount of money for a club that's in the Lowland League. But they want to progress. They want to get out of that league and get into the leagues and try and go forward with this.
You could attract a calibre of player,
and
pay them a wage.
We've seen that with clubs before, though, that you can attract players and it doesn't necessarily guarantee success. Though it's all about how you spend the money.
Yeah, absolutely. But better to have money than not have it.
That is very true. Let's hear what Chris Ewing had to say about it.
To be honest, it was maybe a wee bit of a surprise, but I think there's so many people out there that love the game, that love Scotland, that would welcome the opportunity to be involved as an owner. And I think the thing that we always try to do is flip the narrative that you need to be a millionaire or a billionaire or a Hollywood movie star to own a football club. You know, I think it's to create this community and prove that anybody can own a football club. You know, the entry point is $100, which for a lot of people is quite accessible. I have to be honest, you know, it's brilliant to have people in the NBA, the NFL, and musicians. It's actually a funny story. You know, we got a guy who's the vice president of football operations at the New York Giants, Kevin Abrams, and he would text me before a game to say good luck against Cowdenbeath, for example, or good luck against Albion Rovers, and I would have to go online and check who the New York Giants are playing. So I'd text him back, you know, good luck against the Dallas Cowboys. You know, so it's a bit surreal, but it's brilliant. And actually, one of our owners is actually in the NBA Finals. You know, they just won the Eastern Conference with Boston Celtics. So that's mental, you know, when he's sending me photographs next to Jason Tatum with the Eastern Conference Championship, you know. But it's brilliant, and that's what it's all about. It's a buzz, you know, it really is. It's really exciting.
It's good timing as well, isn't it? Because it's quite fashionable to get into investing in football clubs. We've seen it with Wrexham, especially with the, you know, they've obviously got their TV show, and it follows Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney on that as well. And just the status of the people involved in it, he's talking about people from NFL, NBA, NASA, as well, getting involved in it, musicians, getting involved in a fifth-tier Scottish club. It's, you know, sometimes these ideas don't work out. This one certainly is.
To marry two stories together about the Caledonian Braves and artificial pitches. Caledonian Braves is all about initiative and drive and forward thinking and clever thinking. And it's got them £800,000. Now, there's a pressure that comes with that, because if you've got that kind of money in the Lowland League and you don't manage to make your team successful on the back of it, then I'm sorry, but you have messed up the opportunity that you yourselves created. To go back to the artificial pitches, again, I'm sorry, but we can't keep compensating for the fact that you don't think that you can afford to have grass. In the Major League, there are no compensatory factors. We require top class facilities on and off the park. So if you don't have a proper pitch that entitles you to earn a place in that elite division, then too bad.
I'll be interested to see how that plays out. There was a couple of bits of transfer news over the last couple of days that I was interested in. Sam Nicholson making a permanent return to Motherwell. He maybe had a bit of a slower start to things when he first came in, but really started to pick up towards the, the end of the season and the fact that Motherwell have managed to get him on a permanent deal when he still had, I think, 6 months left on his Colorado Rapids deal. That'll be one they'll be pleased with.
Yeah, it will be, and especially Blair Spittles went out the door, so it's one that is in a similar position that they can bring in, you know, what he can done. Obviously, that fantastic goal that he scored towards the end of the season, but I think it's a good signing. It's a good move from Stuart Kettlewell to get him in the door permanent as well. That makes a difference because the player knows that that's his future and he's got to build on that.
Scotland's women have incidentally just taken the lead against Israel in that qualifier tonight. They are 1-0 up in that game. It's Claire Emsley that scored, but let's get back to this teaser, shall we? Following Jonathan Abika's retirement yesterday, age 33, can you name the 11 players older than him to score in the Scottish Premiership in the past season? You've got Andy Considine, Johnny Hayes, Andrew Shinney, Ryan McGowan, Paul Hanlon, Gary Mackay-Stephen and Marley Watkins.
Graham Carey,
correct. That is a good shout. You have three more to go.
Junior Hoylett,
oh, yes. That's a very good shout.
I'm all out at that.
Two more to go. A Hibs player and a Motherwell player. One is a striker who didn't play too much towards the end of the season.
Oh, Adam Lafondre.
Yes. Oldest player on the list at 37 years and 3 months. One more to go. He is a player from a very famous footballing family in Scotland.
And where is he?
Motherwell.
Oh, McGinn.
Yes, Paul McGinn, you got it. That is all for tonight, but thank you for joining us. Thank you for all your calls and tweets. No show tomorrow, but the GBX is up next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football until 8. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.